What's good? You're listening to Culture Quest, where we ask the question, why are we like this? On this podcast, we explore culture, but culture specific to us as Bahamians, us as Black people, Caribbean people, all that good stuff. So I'm MCK, and I'm here with the homie from Time, Jay, as usual. And of course, Proof is here with us as well. We're going to talk it up, going to talk all things us. And as always, shout out to Solid Network. So first of all, we got to start the podcast off as is tradition with some show and prove. We're going to talk about Bahamian culture. We got, you know, what would give us the right, right? Like, Jay, what give you the right to talk about this?
What gives me the right is that I'm working to a company as a Bahamian. We all experienced a company where the boss hires somebody that don't know how to do the job at all, but that's the nephew or that's the auntie or something. You know that extreme nepotism? I feel like I experienced that. Only the way Bahamians can.
It was never your daddy, though. It was never you. It was never the...
Funny story, but I can wait till that later. I experienced that until I realized I wasn't the case.
Jeez. What about you, Proof? What you got today?
Yo, so y'all know, I had a lot of experience with the islands. Literally. The islands, right? Let's just, y'all ever hunt, like hunt, kill, and eat your meal, right? Like fresh. Nah. So I hunt wild pig before, right? That was an experience, right? Ain't nothing better than fresh wild pork, right?
So how you kill a hog? Is it, you take a rock? You take like a bear?
I wish you tried. You might not live to tell about it. Gun to the head, bro. That's the only way to kill him. I've seen them take bullets. I've seen them take bullets and still charge, boy.
That's crazy.
But yeah, they taste good. Vicious, bro. Exactly. Fresh wild pork is goated.
It's the adrenaline, right? Like the blood pumping in the pig. You see it.
Is experience with? Is experience with?
Why are you squeezing the pig? But everybody listening and don't watch it.
That simulating the juiciness of that meat, babe. That's all it is.
Go get yourself some pork today, yeah. Unless you know religious reasons. Assalamu alaikum.
But fresh Andres pork.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. So. I guess for me, my Bahamian proof point today is I used to have a prescription pair of Oaks. I was so into the Oak world that like my doctor just said, hey, listen, you ain't gonna see straight unless you put these Oaks on. And I did get robbed several times for them, but you know, I think I have the right to chime in. Yeah.
Talk about Bahamian is.
Exactly. Like, if you never get either robbed by huffers or you know, get your oak teeth, then, you know, I don't know what to tell you. But today's episode is brought to you by your local MP. Election coming, hit them up if you need a job. You'll ever hit up your MP if you need a job?
No, I never
get a job from your MP?
Nope.
Free. Y'all gotta do better out there, yo. But no, seriously, today we're talking about work. We're talking about making a living. We're talking about getting a paper. We're talking about J-O-B, a job. We're talking about, you know, work. This is hold on, sorry. Yeah. I lose my place in this thing. Okay, yeah. Okay. So, we're talking about, you know, what is the most Bahamian job? Are we surviving? What opportunities exist out there? And you know, what haven't we tapped into yet? So all of that in this one episode, we're gonna get into it. Talking about work. So I guess the first question I wanna ask is like, are we all currently employed at the moment?
That's funny.
I am employed at the moment.
You sound like you got a story to tell, Jay. I am employed at the moment.
I'm employed at the moment. I just say that's funny.
Yeah. So just you know, just because not that if you're unemployed you can't have the conversation, but you know, what sector is your job in? Oh yeah, that is where you work, but give us a general feel.
Oh, I ain't got no problem telling the people I sell even.
Hey, man, that's what they call it, huh?
Yeah, man. Well, we could call it finance then, since we ain't gonna label it.
Finance. Right, what would you
finance. Mean? Telecom.
Telecom. And I'm an advertising. Right. Okay, so we have a job. We in diverse fields, so we have a nice little breadth of experiences here. What's the job you wanted as a kid? What was your bag of penis when I grew up?
I could actually say I have the job that I wanted as a kid. I've been dealing with computers
from... as a kid.
I mean not to get into too much, right? Telecoms is the field. Specifically, I would say that I don't what I wanted to do as a job. So
yeah, you was always into like computers and electronics. And
I was always into tech. So I kind of worked my way into that career path, and it working. So I ride in this way.
Yeah, do it for sure.
You might be one of the few people who considered, but like they in the, at least in the field where they started out wanting to do, because most times I'd be a start out and then change our mind. You know, many people. Mm-hmm. I didn't talk, but they won't be doctors. They're going in as what it is, biochem.
Switch. I feel like, is it? Switch.
Like you didn't get shot at somebody. No, but...
Nobody just said. But, when I wanted to grow up, I wanted to be a spy, though.
When you wanted to grow up, you all grew up no more.
No. No, not at all.
I didn't have a person that ain't none of us will grow up no more. But I wanted to grow up.
But, yeah, I wanted to be a spy. That was my first like job type of thing.
Classic.
So technically I work in the field as an actor.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, realistically, so, I mean,
when you was thinking about being a spy, right? You wasn't thinking about like, oh, I want this salary, I want like a 401k. You just like this is what I want to do, right?
No, but all I wanted to do is be different, like dress up and like act like different things and like sneak around and stuff.
Dress
like
up in spandex and not spandex, but spandex.
That's right. I never thought about like the benefits on if I got to pay an IB or none of that. I never thought about that.
I mean, even like the money, like I don't know if it's like that for you, proof too. But like when you think about what you want to do when you was a kid, you don't really think about.
It wasn't about, bro, I want to do this to make a living. It was like, wait, I want to do this because I like to do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nowadays, we looking forward to the paycheck at the end of the week.
Yeah.
Like, bro.
Whether you like to do it or not.
Even if you like it.
Yeah.
Pay me. Sure.
But I think that's a little gem in there somewhere. Like, you know what I mean? Like, let's get back to that point where we did the work because we wanted it. You know, we're passionate about it. But anyway, like, yeah, I guess the first job I wanted to do was, I want to be a detective. And I was watching the news and it was like, oh, tonight this person got robbed. That person. I was like, you know what? I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to make a difference.
This murder.
And I'm going to bring justice. And yeah, I wanted to be a detective, but it didn't work. Well, more specifically, my mommy's like, yo, them niggas don't make no money.
That's crazy, right?
And I was like, And that kind of changed my whole trajectory, but to Jay point, which we're stepping on some going, because I studied biochem for a while, because I also, after the detective thing, I was going to do forensics, but that didn't work out at all, because being math.
But own your truth, bro. Own your truth.
I can count money now, but yeah, that chemistry really do me for a 1-2. But yeah, like I'm not in the field that I say I wanted to at first, but definitely found my way to some version of a field that at least I could enjoy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wanted to be a detective, and I studied biochemistry for 2 seconds. But like that made me think. But like, what was your first job ever? Anyone can start.
Outside of probably working with my mommy, like selling goods or what's not, my mommy was the cup lady for a time. So outside of working out the...
Yeah, you never taste the product.
Yeah. My first official job outside of that was construction.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Back in the day, the construction days.
Yeah, you see?
If you want to know, me and Jay used to work construction for a couple of summers back in the day.
Ryan and Watson.
We built a couple of schools, but we built two or three schools.
And we, no, legit, like, we built another one.
It ain't for the faint of heart. I could tell you that much. Following my cousin on the construction site, one day, never going back.
It's like, you just get criticized, but like, you're killing yourself working. Man, y'all working too slow, man. It's like, but you can't be serious, bro.
You dying.
Like, but I'm 15. Like, I'm not going to, like, break my car.
No, and what was bad was they had us, like, sipping sand. But I hate getting my hands dirty, so it's there like every so often.
Bro, you on the construction site, bro?
The money back then was good, but like,
no, it was good at a certain point. So let me tell you about how working in the Bahamas is work, right? So we was working that construction job. My pay set. Same pay every dime. We blessed. Just thankful for the job. Next time we gone back, slaving, but they pay same dime every dime. So this nigga, this gentleman, he left the job before me. So when he left the job, they were like, why don't come here with your brother no more? Like, where your brother is? I was like, my brother? Not my brother. They were like, hold on, that ain't your brother? So you ain't so-and-so, son? All right, bet. That's me. I see my check getting short. I was still like, what happened? MIB boss.
Motherfucker. You on the books now. That's great. You should be able
that's
to
go crazy. Get a contribution.
I bet you
that's crazy.
They started talking to me the minute they realized I was in family.
But the money for me, like, but you used to, like, walk away with, like, you walk over like a six piece every week, and you're like 16 years old, bro. I remember, like, work was hard, but I used to be like, but if I could talk it out for 4 weeks, I could go Miami and ball out. So that was the whole goal.
I couldn't do it, bro. Yeah.
I totally did construction for a while, but I guess that was like my first job. I also worked like a water plant. I worked to like not Chelsea Choice. It was Chelsea Choice. Yeah, that's where I worked. I did work at Chelsea Choice for a while. That was interesting.
But I would imagine it to be so.
Yeah, it was hard
work. Yeah. I can't say that my first job was remotely difficult. Growing up on the island comes with its perks, but like, for real, but listen to me. My very first job was at a dive resort. I learned how to scuba dive that summer, get certified and everything.
That's a hard
very job. First job. No, it's not, bro. That is not. Okay, let me tell you where the perks come in, right? You get to meet women, people from all over the world, right? Mm-hmm. Fresh out of high school, bro, 16, right? Full of energy.
Yeah.
My manager at the time was like, bro, me and another one of my classmates that graduated the same year, worked there that summer. Manager bet us. You probably shouldn't say this on the board. Anyway, it was a lot of years ago. How many girls y'all could get by the end of the summer? $500. Bro, I was 16. 4 weeks? Bet. say less.
What island is this again?
It's Andres, bro.
No niggas looking to put in the application.
No. Wait, this was... I couldn't ask for a better summer job. This is my very first job, but it started as a summer job the year before, and I ended up back there, and that's what I did my first couple of months out of school.
The sad part
is you don't even know that they had y'all on the advertising brochure.
But it is what it is. I know. Hold on, wait. They should be paying me for this now, wait.
Run me
my money.
That's mentioning the important year shut down.
No. They shall remain anonymous.
Well, I'm a money maker on that first job. Like,
first off, this was a lot of years. Let's preface it by saying that. Secondly, I was making up to $300 a week, right? At 16. The plus side is, this being a dive resort, I had access to, well, they was feeding us, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, whenever you on the property, you eat. Yeah. Whatever. Right? You had opportunities to work other positions on the resort as well. I used to bartend sometimes at 16. Well, I mean, kind of shout out a bartender at 16. But, I mean, I had opportunity. So, yeah. I had access, in addition to what I was making, I had access to the property, like, free reign.
Yeah, so a lot of perks.
Yeah.
It was basically a body. Okay, so.
Yeah, was a pretty good job.
What, how much you used to make on your first joint, Jay?
I think before we used to make 300 too. And then after I get orphanized or something.
Started to play contributions, bro.
Yeah, I started making like two something. I can't even remember. That was a lot of NIB, like maybe something after that. Yeah. So yeah, I gone from 300 to 2 something. So yeah.
Yeah, I probably used to make about 225 a week. And it was like, it was not worth it whatsoever. Like the amount of work you was doing compared to like what you was making, bro. It was like, it was just not worth it. So that made me just, you know, think about like, what minimum wage is right now? Is like six something?
$6.50 an hour.
What's $6.50?
As of last year, it went up to $6.50. $6.50 an hour. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Wages $6.50 an hour.
Unfortunately.
Well, your boss died. He's like, what?
Like, yeah, wait, y'all got some back pay for me.
I thought it was like 5.55 or something like that.
No, it went up. It went up last year. They increased it.
It's 6.50. Okay. Yeah. So, 6.50 an hour. You think that's enough money for people to survive off of?
No. So the cost of living, the cost to just live, 6.50 can't maintain that, bro. Can't sustain that, let alone maintain it.
So how are people surviving? Because that's minimum wage.
Barely. I mean, if you would visit the last episode, that would kind of equate to why the crime's away.
Maybe, yeah.
Another thing is that people just stay in together. You'll see it's very rarely that you would see like a single person home or something like that. You'll see mostly people still living at home, like multiple families in one home, like things like that.
But wouldn't that make it easier to advance, I guess? Let's say you live in together, right? And you're not paying what you would have paid for the rent. You're pooling together resources, or you essentially stocking a little bit, mm-hmm. so you can, you know, eventually get on your foot. Is it just that bad that they didn't even know room to get on your foot?
They do that to reach a certain level, because based on minimum wage, 2-person salary is still bottom tier certain jobs.
Yeah.
So is that like, you need for 3 of them just to probably live middle class.
How much do you think the average payment makes a year? Like, a year. The average payment.
Average is subjective.
I'd say between 28 to 35. I think that's high.
Yeah,
no, but the average payment?
Yeah.
I mean, it can't be the average, because I know a place where I wasn't making that, and I was making more than some people.
Right.
Oh, so you're saying it lower?
Yeah, you say 28 to 35. I'm saying that I worked at a place where I didn't make that,
mm-hmm.
and I was the exception to some people.
Mm-hmm. So let's extend it then. Let's say about 20 to 35.
You think really, like, you think the BAMers are there making $20,000 a year? Working full time.
Yeah.
That's actually crazy. Like, I understand, like, there are certain circumstances, like, for instance, in the Bahamas, where, you know, dollar value, this and that, whatever, right? But, like, on paper, just hearing that in your ears. Yeah, like,
that's crazy, right?
$20,000 a year for a full-time job. That is crazy. There are people who work at Starbucks in the States who make more than that. Part-time?
Listen to me. Depending on where you work, you could be making as little as $10,000, $10,900 base annually. And in order, for you to make more than that, you have to pick up shifts or work overtime.
Okay, so let's say the average payment making, let's call it $22,000, right? Because I just don't even want to say my mode. $20,000. Let's call it $22,000. That's $24,000, right?
Before you even started, right? I just calculated what minimum wage equals to per annum. It's less than $13,000, bro.
My God. $650 an hour, 40 hours a week.
At 40 hours a week, at 4 weeks in a month, at 12 months in a year, $12,480, bro.
So if you only make a minimum wage, that's what you bring
up. That's what you're taking on. That's not even contributions, bro. That's not even national insurance yet.
Yeah, that's scary. That's the show get dead depressing just now. That's
bro.
That's scary, bro. Like, okay, so okay, I imagine, right? I know most payments have a side hustle, right? Mm. So let's call it, let's say 60 hours a week with the math is on that at the same rate.
Let's see.
60 hours a week at the same rate. That means you work in.
That's 18,700.
You're on at 20 yet?
Nope.
Okay. All right. So let's imagine. Let's imagine average payment making $22,000. I still could be generous, but let's say $22,000 a year. Right. What is middle class now then?
If the average making $22,000.
So if you're making $35,000 a year, you freaking middle class, eh?
Yeah.
And if you're making
I think the middle class scale is a bit larger though.
Do you think so?
Than from the average to the. You think so?
I think it may not even exist. I think there might be like such a big gap between the two that like middle class almost like don't exist. Is it you have it or you don't?
And that's the thing. People have been saying this, but the middle class dying out to the point where it'd be like, what is middle class?
Well, that's true.
It's going to be poor. And rich.
And rich. Yeah. Those lines have been blurred now.
I have trying to pull up a salary survey. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to see the basics. Okay. So in a survey of 172 people, shout out to A2Z.com. This was Bohemian Salaries. The average, the most common salary was $30,000. But the average age was 80 to 45. I mean, the range was 18 to 45, with the average age between 26 to 29 years old. But 1 to 25 is the years of college experience or college, I guess, knowledge or what's not.
1 to 20?
Hold on 1 second. No, but see, this is the thing. Out of 172 people, 50% of the respondents had a bachelor's degree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. First of all, that's not a large sample at all, but...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But so you're talking about a group of people who's essentially educated.
Yeah, so we can see that education pay... I mean, that's everywhere, but we see that for you to be educated to an extent, you're still making 30. In the Bahamas.
Yeah. And that's a bachelor's degree, right? Like, obviously, you could go and you could get a master's, you could get a PhD, you could get a doctor's degree, whatever. But yeah, so that's... So I think we could argue middle class is like 35.
Okay, 35
to 50, 55, something like that. And then if you're in the if you're making like 70,000, you kind of doing good.
Yeah,
like,
you're on the higher end.
Yeah, you in our context, you more on you got you straight like your money got on good, which is
I think that's a comfortable place to be.
Yeah, like you making 70, not for me, that ain't no money, but generally speaking. My personal standard of like what money is, it's not really money. But then like when you look at comparatively making freaking $20,000, that's a huge difference, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know?
But yeah, that's crazy. So basically you gotta work at least two jobs. At least. And then like Jay said, you gotta do the cohabitating and the you know what I mean, pooling resources thing, living with family, because I mean it just mathematically don't add up, right? And then what rent is on average?
I think average was like, yeah, around for 950 and up.
For like a one bedroom?
Yeah.
Oh. That's crazy, bro. Wow. So that makes me think about, wait, what is a good job at this point? Obviously, one that pays more than, one that pays at least $30,000 a year.
One that actually pays is the first one.
Mm-hmm. That's the first job. Criteria. You're actually getting,
you're actually paying.
Just clearing, right?
It's something with solid benefits.
Yeah.
Oh, and benefits.
You gotta pay on time, because you know places over here don't pay on time.
That's the next thing. So the check clearing on time, and then some sort of benefit.
Yeah, some sort of flip.
Ideally, not toxic, non-toxic environment.
We ain't even there yet. Toxic, not toxic is a privilege.
that's more than a good job. That's like more.
That's the above and beyond right there.
That's like if you have a great job in the Bahamas, because I don't feel like most employers sometimes understand what a toxic workplace is.
Don't even know.
Yeah. Some places don't even have HR.
Yeah, what is an HR?
Exactly. You know what HR is? The CM boss talks to you, bud.
Go to my office on Tuesday. We can talk about it. So you think most people would interpret a good job as basically the money got to be right?
Yeah, I feel like that's the basic level.
Yeah. I think I think it's important to consider like what you call it, the ability to grow, like as far as like promotion. Like they're in a dead end.
You can get stagnant.
Yeah.
Yeah, like even if I'm making 35 down my ceiling, right? Like I could potentially make more money. Now I know behemoths, like for instance the government system, you get promotions and you get raises and stuff. But I think the amount of time it takes to see real money, like you literally it'll be like 30 years seniority to like really see
real.
Like good money. I mean everything is variable because engineers can make good money. For instance, right? Ministry of Works. I think they can make, especially compared to what that number we just said, they can make real money. but you know, you have to work so long to make serious money, I think, in a lot of these agencies, government agencies.
Yeah.
Would you say is the best job out there for a behemoth? Like if you land this, the whole block street, you make it on the hood.
I know, because they used to say government jobs was like that for security.
And that's exactly what I would have said. I mean, if you looking for security in some place you could, you know, ride that out, then government job is probably your best bet. Let me not say that. A good option, not your best bet.
I feel like if you're lucky enough to go private sector, that's where the money is. But I feel like it's a lot of it is like political, right? Like a really political game to get in there. Mm. Like for me, I don't trust that. If I have like a really excellent portfolio, I could walk into a establishment and just like land a job off of my credentials. I don't know if that's like just my own insecurities about you know the Bahamas and the job market, but I get the sense like you kind of need to know somebody or have an in. And I mean that ain't exclusive to the Bahamas, that's everywhere, right? Like you having an in obviously helps, but I just don't feel like I could have like an excellent portfolio and necessarily land a well-paying job home. Y'all feel different about that?
And see, that's the thing. You can have a great portfolio, walk in a place and get a job. Yes. But well paying, that's still selective. Because, I mean, I don't want to be like the pay salary guy. But the pay ranges over here don't compare to other places or other in the field. So someone let's say an engineer over here could walk in with a same portfolio someplace else and get a higher paying job probably in another part of the world, but that's just the way work works there. We have different pay scales based on, I guess, the country, and that might be a worldwide thing too.
Yeah, I guess that's you got to consider the context of where he is. But okay, if a government job is the cushy job, you know, at least you got security for that. What should be the highest paid job in the bomb? Who should be getting that check? Should it be teachers, prime minister, police officers, farmers, the Rasta on East Street? Like who deserves that check, you think? Like in our society, like this job should be like $350,000 a year, at least.
Or, I mean, for me, I might say teachers.
That's a safe answer. I mean, it's a truthful answer. I think.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, teachers. Obviously, you gotta put up with them. It's not even those children are dying.
Yep.
It'd be nice. A teacher should be able to retire for sure. Like, you've been a teacher for 15 years, you should be able to say. Okay, and I let me preface it: a certain level of teacher. I don't feel like you can just teach like K-12 for 13 years and walk away with an M.
Say K-12.
K-2, K-3, whatever. My personal opinion, just like anything else, right? It's go like the level of intensity that you work with, but you deal with these high school and junior kids and stuff like that. You should be able to buy a BMR after you finish. For sure.
Yeah, well, it dies with the BMR, they don't have the stress.
I mean, teachers in the private schools probably making some good money. Let's start there.
You think so?
So if this comment is specific to teachers in the government system, then sure, give them that $350,000. They need it. They earn it.
You can imagine if like,
but the Mr. private schools
to make $350,000.
I feel like the private schools get paid well.
How well? In a BMR contract, we talking like 6 feet? We talking more?
Probably. They probably start off
maybe about more, that.
Yeah, or somewhere around there.
Yeah, y'all let us know in the comments how much teachers is making a private sector. I actually want to know, like y'all. You can say your cousin or whatever, but I'm interested to know, like, I was actually really intrigued about, like, how much people make based on their jobs and stuff like that, like the field. But I don't know, who should get the highest paid job? It has to be, I think journalists should probably make more than they make.
Because,
like, that ain't a solid job. When I say solid, I mean, like, there's a lot of work, there's a lot of, like, research. You have to do things by the book. There's legal ramifications. You have to do everything type. There's a lot of hours. And
I mean, that come with perks too, though. Depending on how good you are as a journalist and what your ranking is in the company, you get to travel.
I mean, you're traveling for work, though.
But you get to experience things you probably wouldn't ordinarily get to experience. I mean, particularly at the level you get to experience it. You know what I mean? That come with access too.
I think every job should have some level, some perk attached to it. Like, even if you work at Chick-fil-A, you should get some green nuggets. But, like, I don't know. I feel like that's a job. It's a job that people kind of, like, underrate. I think it could be also, like, viewed as glamorous in a way.
Journalist?
But, like, you know, you get to dress up and be on TV. I think it is perspective.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Y'all let us know who y'all think should hold the highest paycheck in the country.
Yeah, which work should be rewarded expeditiously.
Yeah. And then, like, yeah, just so I have a dilemma. I say that just need to get this on my chest for this episode. So my since you're talking about work and opportunities and stuff like that, stop telling students abroad to come home unless y'all cutting appropriate checks. All right, it's an insult and it's silly. I remember I had to fill out an application for a scholarship, and they were like, "Oh, how do you plan to, you know, put back in the country?" And I was like, I don't plan to. Just because I'm behemoth don't mean I'm entitled to come and give you my skills because I'm a behemoth. Like, let's stop it. I'm going to come back. You're not going to cut me the check. The industry don't exist even, to be honest. And it's insulting. How about spend the time that you take spitting up your mouth to ask a question to make sure that there are correct jobs that you can actually invest in these industries, right? Certain jobs literally don't even exist. You would have to get an adjacent job, right? Like, you, if you're an illustrator, they get, oh, you come in to draw comic books for the newspaper. Like, that's insulting. Oh, you gotta go sell caricatures over PI. Like, take the time to invest in the industry. Stop telling people that would literally get paid 200% more money elsewhere to come back home for some sort of, like, blind patriotism. I don't owe the Bahamas anything by the sake of being a Bahamian. I am a Bahamian everywhere that I go. I could go to Jabim and do excellent work, and I'd be a reflection of great Bahamian excellence. I don't have to come home, and that's the only way I validated of being a contributing factor to the country. Please, stop. Y'all wouldn't even cut the check. You literally tell me I overqualified. So build the infrastructure, make the policies and decisions that would allow individuals to thrive. Bahamians should be able to explore other avenues of success without having to be a freaking political genius or even an entrepreneur, because, you know, there's this whole thing about, like, the entrepreneur culture and, oh, have your own business, and everybody don't need to have their own business either. That's not, everybody ain't called to that. Stop doing it. It's like, just let's take the time to not just invest in two industries in the country. Let's actually build out these government them need to do this. Please invest in different industries. We have 3.5 industries. Invest. There are people studying all over the world. The 2.5 industries, stop it. All right? And stop telling Bahamians, yeah, we need you here with that. No matter what you tell them your job is, boy, we need more of that over here. You tell them use clean shoes, boy, we really need some more shoe cleaners in this. It's like, stop. Y'all ain't gonna pay the people for the cleaning shoes. Like, keep it moving. Say, great for you, good for you, go there and do great things. Or it would be beautiful if you could cut that check and I could come home and I could lay on the beach on the weekend. But if you ain't cutting the check, keep it moving. Don't bring that foolishness around there. That'll might say that.
It's a mouthful. All right. You good? You got everything off your chest?
I think I said what I needed to say. So before we wrap up this episode, of course, we've been talking about this Culture Icon of the Year award for weeks now, right? I don't think we have come up with a name for it. That's my pitch for the name. The Culture Crown.
I mean, seeing that,
no, man, like Jay said, you know what? Ain't no other names in the bucket.
Not a phrase.
So why not you in first place?
Yeah, that name in first place. So that
Culture Crown. Who will be crowned? It writes itself, bro. All right, so the Culture Crown, Culture Icon of the Year Award. We've been nominating people who we think deserve the honor of being said, hey, this person is a culture icon. They really, been holding it down and showing up and doing that thing and whatever that. Feel or whatever that subculture is. And right now we have, well, first of all, let's congratulate again the place that won the culture spot of the year, Super Value. Sing the Super Value song.
The song copyrighted, so we can't really use it.
Okay,
but commercial use right now.
But imagine the song, Super Value. Congratulations once again. That's the culture spot of the year. But right now we have three candidates still left, the nominees left for Culture Icon, and we got to get rid of one of them today, all right? So we have Miles Monroe as our as one of our nominees, the late, great Miles Monroe. You have the provocative Darren Miller. He's still kicking and running and kicking and running. And then we have the Right Honorable former Prime Minister, Hubert Ingram. You get, any of y'all can do a Hubert Ingram voice?
I ain't got it either.
I never could do it, but it is iconic, right? So,
yep.
Who we sending off to Beulah Land today?
This could be a tough one, and it hurts me, but my vote, I vote for the Right Honorable former Prime Minister.
Wow, Papa, Papa gotta go.
I gotta vote for Papa.
Why Papa get a good day? Why today of all days?
When I just think like contributions stacked up, like I love the image, bro.
you can be the Prime Minister of the country, like, but you really do that much?
Like when I think of it, I just think in a Kuchin and Kamulis. Like I just like Kamulis. I just think of President Obama being shaken up and like everybody acknowledging Miles Monroe and just the impact that he made on a global scale. Like it's rough.
It is rough. It is a toughie.
I gotta vote to leave, to go back in retirement.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, bro?
I really don't have no horse in this race, but if I had to vote somebody off, I'd vote off Papa as well, only because I don't like red.
Motherfucker. So there's a political. As he drank from a red. As he sipped from a red, that's just perfect comedic time. So.
Yeah, that's
neat. Yeah, I have your political dislikes to vote now. Proof. Anyway, all right. So I guess it don't really matter at this point, but thank you for your service, Right Honorable.
Hold on. Who you voting for?
I voting off the Right Honorable too. Politicians have done great things for this country. But I think it's important that we prove that you don't have to be a prime minister or a sovereign leader in order to be an icon for Culture Quest, all right? You don't have to be, you know, a lawyer and we appreciate the contribution that Hubert has done.
Yeah. Great, man. Know?
And you know, just aside from the contribution, the dude is an icon. I mean, his voice, the character, the way he show up, that laugh. I mean, the guy is undoubtedly top five all time on Bayman icons, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's important that we show, like, you know, icons isn't just a political thing. It could transcend that. And so, thank you, you Wiggity. But we link up on the next side, and that leaves. Dr. Miles Monroe.
That's two.
And Darren Miller. Live.
Mr. Live and provocative himself.
So we getting close, y'all. And then, you know, let us know. You can still throw your hand in for who you think people's choice. And then, you know. And our honorable mentions was what? The Rasta.
Who's that being on East Street?
Yeah. I remember Rasta, but with him.
Yeah, but anyway, shout out all the nominees.
Yeah,
we getting close. We getting, you know, one night. One.
We should have leave Rasta on the list, you know it.
Why? Why is it?
Because Rasta is the only one who's still selling bag of peanut for dollar. everybody else going up.
You know what type of economic strategy you have to keep that price point like that?
Consistent for years. You should leave Ross on the list.
You must just make them peanut.
And they must just grow them for true, because I sure peanut numbers inflated too now.
Or maybe, maybe he just like taking a loss, a profit loss, and it's about the people.
No, I think he cutting costs. Ross is be roasting them peanuts on the side of the road, bro.
No, you will not. You will not.
Ross to have a roaster on his bike, bro. That's a compliment. That is a compliment. That's not an accusation. Well, and that's not me speaking for you. That's actually a compliment. You getting fresh, hot roasted peanuts, bro?
Yeah, saying,
that's clutch. That's clutch. No, that's a good thing. That's clutch, bro.
Okay. We will not have no Ross slam on Culture Crest. Absolutely not. All right, well, that's this episode. Oh, by the way, I was thinking for the is that a trophy? What if we get like a big ropey with a gold?
With a crown.
With a gold crown.
That's it. A coin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. So
yeah.
Until next time. Appreciate y'all tuning in to Culture Crest. We catch y'all on the flip. Link up.
Yep.
Yeah, I see.